whatever you're doing today, in 3 or 5 years, you'll be doing something more exciting and quite different. And then you know, none of us know what we will be doing in the next 20 years, for example, because that's how quickly the world is changing.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen und gleichzeitig ganz besonderen Podcast-Folge. Wir switchen gleich um auf Englisch, denn unser Gast ist niemand Geringeres als Rajat Aggarwal, der Präsident of Henkel Greater China. We invited him to our office in Shanghai, and that's how this episode came about. As we learned in this meeting, Henkel is the household name for all of you, even though the products are often invisible. It is a brand behind many of your detergents, hairsprays and adhesives, which you likely use daily. Today, Rajat makes the products visible, or better yet, audible for us. We discussed Henkel's major business areas in China, the key success in the high-speed and highly competitive Chinese market, and the differences in consumer behavior in various countries. It was a delightful conversation and added much value for you and us. Don't miss it and stay tuned until the end, because we'll discuss a truly extraordinary phenomenon. Have you ever heard of dating apps being used for job hunting? Don't you think so? Hear for yourself.
Made in China. Von der Werkbank der Welt zum größten Konsumentenmarkt und Technologieführer. Eine Reise durch das Leben, Business und die Kultur im Reich der Mitte mit Damian Maip und Thomas Derksen.
Very welcome to the Made in China podcast. We are very happy and honored to have a very special guest today here. We met each other a couple of months ago when the mayor of Düsseldorf was here in Shanghai, and you are also representative of a big company from Düsseldorf. Rajat Aggarwal is the president of Henkel in China, and today he's with me and Damian in our office, in our small office in Shanghai. I have been to your campus. Your campus is huge compared to our office, right? Did you got lost one time on your campus?
I still do sometimes, Thomas.
Yeah, you still do. So very welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas and Damian, for having me here.
Thank you very much. Our pleasure. It's an honor.
So we start our podcast with a little game. It's very easy. The rules are we will ask you some questions in the manner of A or B, like cat or dog, and then you answer
cat or dog.
Exactly, you answer cat or dog. Exactly, that's right.
You choose one.
You got it. I'm playing with you.
Okay. I was getting nervous. So how should I explain it to you? Okay, Damian, let's start.
Okay, German or English?
English.
Coffee for here or coffee to go?
Coffee for here.
Phone call or message?
Phone call.
Audiobook or podcast?
Both.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Sea or mountains?
Mountains.
Patex or Prit?
Both.
Video call or office meeting?
Office meetings.
Rain or snow?
Snow.
Night owl or early riser?
Early riser.
Elevator or stairs?
Stairs.
Lottery win or dream job?
Dream job.
Concert or football match?
Football match.
Past or future?
Future.
With or without tie?
Oh, without.
Without a tie. Yeah, you got it. This the game is over. You made it. Very good job.
Yes. Wow.
Perfect.
Always good to get the juices flowing with this game.
Yeah.
Exactly. So as Thomas said, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to have you here. And basically, we want to know a little bit more about your own personal and professional journey. It started in New Delhi, India, to Düsseldorf in Germany, and now you're the president of Henkel in China. What an amazing career and life path. Could you tell us a little bit more about that journey?
Sure, Damian. So it's a journey that I would not have dreamt about when I was a kid. However, I used to dream always about exploring and traveling. So that is a dream I had. So when I was growing up in New Delhi, which actually just hosted the G20 summit, and it's the capital city of India, I always dreamt of living in other places. So my first foray out of Delhi was 30 years ago when I moved to the United States. And I went to a university there, University of Connecticut, to do my postgraduate work. And Connecticut is more famous for basketball than for academics. Nevertheless, I finished a degree over there as well. And then I had the opportunity to work at Henkel. And I then moved again to the city of Detroit, which is also known as the Motor City.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey at Henkel then started 26 years ago. And it brought me through many cities such as Detroit. I had a chance to then work in Heidelberg, in the beautiful city of Heidelberg in Germany. Then back in Detroit, and then again, finally, to Düsseldorf in our headquarters. And then most recently, since last 7 years, in Shanghai. And through, I think, my professional career, I was able to visit more than 40 countries for various reasons. So it's been quite fulfilling and lots of adventures. And main thing I remember from all the moving around is meeting people, experiencing different cultures, and always being curious and appreciating how diverse the world is.
So you have spent some time in Germany. How are your German language skills?
Mein Deutsch ist gut.
Should we continue in German?
We can continue in German. Our audience may not understand my speaking German, though.
Okay. So then let's do it in English. Even we have a very German English, but I think everyone can understand it. When I visited your campus in Shanghai a couple of months ago, I saw lots of young people working, not just young people, but a lot of people working for you. And we also have a lot of listeners who are quite young and who are just starting their career. And we always love to ask our guests who have a lot of experience and insights, what are your career advices for our young listeners just starting their careers?
Sure. So, Thomas, first of all, I noticed your popularity when you were in our campus and how quickly you were surrounded by our especially young audience who were keen to take selfies with you. So it was good to have you there and see how really popular you are. Over my many years of collecting gray hair, I can share a few pieces of advice to anybody who's starting up their career. So maybe I start with one sobering advice, which is when you're young and start your career, most of what you have learned will not be very useful in 3 or 5 years from now. And the other side of it is that whatever you're doing today, in 3 or 5 years, you'll be doing something more exciting and quite different. And then none of us know what we will be doing in the next 20 years, for example, because that's how quickly the world is changing. So in there, how do we want to prosper? And what I share with the young people is always, when you went to get an education, you did not only learn to acquire, you didn't acquire skills, you actually learned how to learn. So continue learning, because that journey never stops. So that's the first thing. Then when we start out, we don't know much about what we are going to do, but we do get excited with something. And then from there, it's a journey. What makes you excited? Find out what makes you excited. Experiment in doing many different things. And one finds out then where their true passion lies. Discover that passion. Be really good at it. So having passion is good. Being good at that passion really is what sustains you. And finally, there is something about creating value for the organization or for the customer. So you combine those two things with creation of value. And then I think you can be in this wonderful sweet spot that you can make a career that you want.
And maybe become the president of Henkel China.
Maybe become the president of Henkel China. Maybe be one of the most successful influencers across many countries. Or maybe run an e-commerce startup business. Or maybe do something that nobody's ever done before. Yeah. I think every one of us has a very unique career at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. Depends on the passion. So I think there was already some excellent advice. So thank you for starting that podcast in such an amazing way. What is or was the biggest difference for you working as a foreigner in Germany and in China?
So first of all, I want to say I've been extremely lucky to be warmly welcomed as a foreigner in both countries, in Germany and in China. So I can always say my experiences have been just amazing in both the countries. And of course, there are certain things which you will hear from me, maybe not so unique, but these are my experiences then that working in China, what immediately you feel is the speed of China. And the speed is in everything. How fast we tend to work here, what we do in a year, we do in other places in 3 or 5 years. And there are reasons for doing that. So we see the speed because people are in a hurry to build a better future and a better life. And there's a high degree of experimentation, risk-taking, progress. So you feel that speed. And that speed is can be addictive at the same time. There's also a lot of learning from making mistakes. In Germany, on the other hand, we are much more established as people, as country, as companies. So there it's about getting better in everything we do. So the processes are more deliberate. There's a lot more thought that goes into everything. It's more careful planning and so on. So I think different cycles reflect different ways of working. And at the same time, I think every place fundamentally, it's about how we create value. So there's also a lot of similarities. So I hope that gives you a bit of a flavor.
Absolutely.
It does. Henkel is a big brand in Germany. Almost everyone knows it. What is your major business field in China then?
So now, Thomas, as we talk about Henkel, let me start by sharing the story of how Henkel was born, actually. So 6 generations ago, 147 years ago, there was Mr. Henkel. And it comes, the story starts by doing how we wash clothes at home. So washing, the process of washing clothes is as long as we've been wearing clothes, which is thousands of years. And if you go back and look in history, the washing process of clothes used to take hours. It was a very laborious task. And the breakthrough came when Mr. Henkel actually did something at that time considered revolutionary by inventing what is known as the self-acting detergent. So this was a detergent in which you could soak the clothes and then just rinse them and they would be clean. You did not have to beat these clothes for hours to try to make them clean and destroy them in the process. So that was actually the starting point of Henkel, that great innovation. And we are known for that brand as the Persil brand. From there on, there was one other big period in the life of Mr. Henkel when he was selling this detergent out of the original factory in Düsseldorf then, was that he ran out of, during the First World War, he ran out of the adhesive he needed to close the boxes. So then being an inventor, he invented the paper adhesive to close the boxes. That adhesive turned out to be very good and others were asking him, can we buy some as well? So he started to sell it. And why that second story is important, because finally Henkel grew in 2 branches, one in the fast moving consumer goods area with the laundry and home care and hair styling, which are the brands of Persil, Schwarzkopf, Sios and so on. And then on the other side, in the industrial adhesive business, where we have some iconic brands such as Loctite and Terrazone and so on. So Henkel eventually became a company with 2 very strong businesses, consumer business and industrial business. In China, we also have both of them. And the bigger part of the business is in the industrial business. And then we have a very nice business with our in the fashion area, beauty care area with hair styling products.
How many brands do you have now? Starting from 2 brands.
So we have many, many brands. Some of the big ones are Persil, of course, Schwarzkopf. Now we also have, in the meanwhile, our professional business of Shiseido. So Shiseido Professional Care. And these are our power brands in the area of, in the consumer business. Then in the industrial business, Loctite is used a lot for industrial maintenance as well as for a lot of machine building. Then we have a brand Terrazone, which is used for all things in cars and other kinds of industrial goods assembly. So we've actually, in the meanwhile, consolidated a lot of brands into few ones so that it's easier for our customers to find us.
Yeah, Henkel is extremely diverse, a very, very interesting business. And not all of them, most of the consumers probably know the consumer brands, but they're not the adhesives, which is also massive. if we are rightly informed, you just started building a 120 million euro factory in Yantai in Shandong province. Can you share some more numbers with us about the factories and also the employees of Henkel in China?
Sure. So, I mean, glad you picked that story up, actually. So that story is coming from June when we just did the groundbreaking in Shandong, in the city of Yantai, for our newest adhesive factory that we are going to build. The name of the project is also eye-catching. So the name is Kunpeng. And in Chinese, Kunpeng comes from the mythology of a creature that is rising from the water and reaching for the skies.
Okay.
So it represents a dream. It represents power. And that's what this project is about. So to give you some background, we have been in Shandong province for almost 35 years. And Henkel was one of the first batch of multinational to set up manufacturing in the Shandong province a very long time ago. So having been so long there, having been well invested there, having been very welcomed over there, we also felt it was a good time now, as the China economy is continuing to grow, our business continues to grow, to build a new modern factory in a modern chemical park. And hence this investment in Shandong province. This is not our only footprint. This is a very important part of our footprint. So we have 10 manufacturing locations in China, across the eastern seaboard, and all the way from Shandong all the way to into Guangzhou. And we have even a facility in the Sichuan area, as well as we have almost 4,000 people today who are working in China, who come in every day to make a difference.
Crazy. 4,000. Yeah,
4,000 people. And we started with a few people 50 years ago.
Yeah. So we see ourselves in the next couple of years, huh?
And yes. And you'll be maybe 8,000 or 10,000 in a few years.
Maybe.
We'll ask you for advice on the way how to get there.
So when I was at your campus, one thing I noticed you telling me was that you said a lot of your products are invisible. The visible ones we talked about, like the washing detergent or hair care.
Yes.
But there are a lot of products you can't see with your eyes. So can you make them visible, or at least as we're in a podcast, hearable for our listeners?
Yes. So let's take an example of where a product would be invisible and you would never think about it. So we all today have a mobile phone in our hand. And if you look around your mobile phone, Thomas, or Damien, you have a nice new phone I just saw before we started the podcast. So if you turn that phone around, you won't find any screws or rivets. So how is this phone being held together?
Yeah, how is it?
With the Loctite or another brand of yours.
Exactly, with the Loctite adhesive, most likely. And that's one feature, for example, of the adhesives which are holding the phone together. Not only the outer components, but these adhesives are also holding a lot of the inside electronics together. So in case a phone drops, for example, those components still stay on. So you can drop the phone a few times and the phone still works. And our invisible products have a lot to do with that. Another feature, if you noticed, phones from 10 years ago, if they dropped in water or if they were in rain, the water went inside. Today, these phones are water resistant, or in some cases, even slightly waterproof. So those are products and innovations that we've been able to bring together into the market. And we don't see them, but we experience them. Another example would be if you're pulling together, we are sitting on this beautiful office desk. And again, almost very few screws or no screws. So desk today is made of many materials. And these materials are again put together with our adhesives, either a Loctite or a Terrazone, most likely. So they are all around in our daily lives. Everything, if you're walking with running shoes, how is a running shoe being put together? It has many, many things in there. And again, it's been put together by an adhesive. And that shoe is with you, whether it's in the cold weather, whether it's in mountains, whether it's on a warm, sunny day. And it takes a lot of beating and it still carries on. So those are the kinds of products we have in everyday products or in very industrial uses, which just makes a difference in all the manufacturing processes that our customers use. to make them. So we are very small and we are invisible. However, we are extremely critical and important in those products. So I hope if we close our eyes, we can actually imagine that.
Oh, yes, I did. For sure. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And these little invisible adhesives, they are very important for every one of us and more complex than one might thought or one might think. So you mentioned earlier one of the differences between Germany and Europe. And here the Chinese market is definitely the speed. So we experience the high speed everywhere, not only in the high speed train, but also in the high speed of working.
Absolutely.
And now this is difficult for a lot of international companies to imagine that if they haven't been working here or if they only hear about it. So from your point of view, what is the key to success in the high speed and also highly competitive Chinese market?
So the ultimate secret to success is there is no real secret to it. So the markets are competitive around the world. Competition, I believe, is a good thing. It ultimately gives the best experience to the customer. When we all have to compete for the for a customer, then we all tend to deliver better products, better services, better experiences. Growing competition in China is a sign of progress. That the customers are demanding more things and the companies see different opportunities here. So yes, there's competition, but I also welcome competition because it's a sign of market being very healthy and robust in asking for high quality products. Competition also says there are more consumers. So then if we look at China, there's 450 million strong middle class today. That middle class is expected to grow over the next few years to over 500 million, almost 550 million. Their disposable income may increase by a factor of 3. So where would you invest? Then not only we have more customers, we have more competitors, we also have then more suppliers because we also, as a manufacturing company, have to buy things. So we are able to find increasingly very, very good, innovative raw materials and partners to work with in China. So ultimately, speed is just a characteristic of consumers being very willing to experiment with new products and new experiences. And then it's our responsibility to give them what excites them.
With a lot of guests in our podcast, we talked about the labels and tags made in Germany and Germany. How important is this for Henkel? Do you put like the German flag or the word Germany on your products? Is it important for Henkel?
Yeah, I think it's important. And it's important, more important than even putting a label. It's part of our identity. And our identity, as we mentioned earlier on, we are 147 years old. What does a German tag mean? Actually, it means much more than a name. German tags often stands for reliability. It stands for high quality. So that is what we build into our thinking, even when we are working in China speed. We're working in China speed with the discipline of being a German company. And I think it allows us to bring the best of both. And we also manufacture a lot of things locally. Almost 80% of what we sell in China today, we are able to manufacture locally. And we are very proud to even say made in China with Henkel quality. So the key is to have the values of Henkel in our products, in our thinking, in our way of working. So we are very proud to be associated with Germany. And we are also proud to be in any country, including in China, where we also learn the best of what every country has to offer in terms of insights and ideas and room for innovation.
Yeah, you mentioned competitiveness or competitive market is also something that is beneficial and something that might excite you,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Getting the customer a better product. And now you are a German company, but sourcing or manufacturing most of it in China. So yes, a German company in China working according to local customers or local, like a local brand and a local factory. Do you feel, or in what way do you feel that local Chinese brands, like with a Chinese headquarter, are getting stronger? And how does that impact your business, both in the adhesive, but also maybe in the end consumer sector?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, before, so local brands are just a sign of increasing space in the marketplace for more brands to exist. Nobody can have 100% of market share. Also not healthy for the market itself. So competition is also a fitness sport. We are all challenging each other to get better, and the end beneficiary is a consumer. How do we stay ahead? So we don't want to only compete, we also want to win, and we want to stay ahead. So for example, in this in the very competitive electronics market in China, most of that big manufacturing hub is in south of China. So we just opened a brand new center right in the heart of the electronics manufacturing area in Dongguan, where we have staffed with the state-of-the-art equipment, where we can test our latest products together with customers. And we have a very short response time between developing new products and testing them with customers and getting them qualified. So those are ways where we can bring our deep know-how very close to the customers in a real-time testing scenario, so that we are all winning and working at a speed which is what we call that China speed. And we do this in many, many other sectors across the country. Being close and collaborating and exchanging and experimenting.
That's really one of the closest being to the customer as I ever heard, right? Setting up the hub inside where most of the manufacturers are located, having a fast response time.
Yeah, and maybe that's the change, Damien. That's the change that we have seen before. Most companies used to have a build it and they will come. So you used to build something cool and sexy and customers would come to you. In the meanwhile, I think the model is go where the customers are or go where the customers will be.
Very good one.
Yeah, and before this talk, we went to Damian's office and you saw that Damian is an e-commerce expert. His heart beats for e-commerce, right?
Yeah, we talked about passion, right? That's what excites me. So I also prefer my dream job.
Yeah, I saw not only your heart beating there, Damian, I saw the heart of a lot of very motivated people whose hearts are beating very strongly with their computers generating content.
Yeah, so
very cool to
see next,
that.
This next question is for you, Damian. So you definitely want to know, for Henkel, what's more important, the online business or the offline business?
So here there is no A or B for me. It's both.
Okay.
And it's both, even that there is a third way. It's not only online and offline, it's the combination, and it's could be what we all nowadays call O2O. And O2O is surrounding the customer completely between online and offline, merging the experiences together. So if you're in a store today, and imagine you're in a store looking for your hair coloration products. So today you could go in a store and then still take out the app and look in the Schwarzkopf app while you're standing in front of the product, and you can simulate your hair with different colors right in the app in real time and pick one with an advisor online, fully digital, which coloration would excite you the most, or which coloration would excite your friends most even. And then you can combine these online, offline experiences in a very unique manner, which were not possible a few years ago. So that's the world we want to be in nowadays.
O2O. I learned this new today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
teach you more later. Okay. Yes. Yeah, now we talked about the Chinese market, the Chinese consumers a little bit. But what do you think are the biggest differences between the typical, if there is a typical, Chinese consumer, for example, and comparing that to the German or maybe the American consumer?
Wow, that's a big question, Damien, given that there are more than 1 billion Chinese consumers, and also there's almost more than 500 million total consumers between US and Germany. So let me take a stab at this question, okay? So what we do find is the Chinese consumers have a high willingness to experiment with different brands. We also see that the Chinese consumers are incredibly informed about a product. So they spend a lot of time researching a product, and there are so many apps today, the Xiaohongshu being one of them, and there's many other apps where people are always exchanging content about their experiences, what the knowledge on how they experience a product, what they think about it. So there's an incredibly high degree of awareness about a product. In the mature areas, US and Germany are very reflective of a mature economy where the brands are very well established. So there's a high degree of just an implicit understanding of how a consumer relates to the brand, both in the industrial space as well as in the consumer space. So there, it's a different interaction. People are always interested. What's new? What's exciting for me? Nevertheless, they tend to maybe stay with the brand longer because they've just had a longer experience with the brand growing up. And those are some of the differences we see. Nevertheless, I also feel now as a lot of the digital landscape of China is also moving to the US, there's also, and to the West, you can see even the consumer experiences in Europe and US, they are being revolutionized by TikTok.
Absolutely.
Yeah, TikTok. So I think the markets are incredibly dynamic and always exciting. So I would also not take the risk of stereotyping a customer, given how quickly the landscape is changing everywhere in the world.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
And you are part of the changing landscape, actually, both of you, Thomas.
Absolutely, and we are part of it in many ways, right?
And you're influencing that, that change.
Yeah, you're influencing it. I make it possible for customers to buy it online. Yeah, Thomas gets the traffic, and maybe we're changing ourselves as a customer.
Exactly.
And there are also a lot of challenges also in China, and the Chinese population is shrinking and getting older. How do you see, as a consumer expert, how will this affect the economy and the consumer market? Can you share some insights with us?
So there is a general population growth slowdown across the world. And nevertheless, we are entering this phase from more to better. And that's also good for the overall sustainability of the planet, that it's not only about more, it's about better. And what does better mean? Better means products that are more sustainable, safer to use. They have a smaller ecological footprint. So that goes to the sustainability topic. And they give consumers a better experience and so on. So from when you look at all these dimensions, all the companies, and certainly at Henkel, we are still very excited with what we see in the future in terms of consumer behavior that's evolving, and the demand for high-quality products, which are more sustainable, really make a difference. So in the foreseeable future, I see still more opportunities than in the next 10 years than we probably had in the last 10 years, I would say.
Great words for a last answer, Rajat. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast and sharing these great insights and experiences with everyone.
Thank you so much, Rajat. Our honor to have you here.
So Thomas and Damian, thank you again. It was a really pleasure to exchange with you. Thanks.
News der Woche. As reported by Business Insider on September 23rd, there's an interesting development in the job-seeking landscape in China. Young people are now turning to Tinder as an unconventional avenue to find new employment opportunities. This shift comes after established networking giant LinkedIn's recent exit from the Chinese market. On May 8th, LinkedIn's CEO Ryan Roslansky announced plans for layoffs and the discontinuation of the local professional networking service in Korea in China by August 9th. With youth unemployment already at a peak in China, this move by LinkedIn has worsened the challenges faced by graduates trying to break into the job market. Sixth Tone, an online magazine, interviewed graduates from Peking University who shared some surprising stories. One graduate mentioned receiving valuable job-seeking tips from a Tinder date, while others admitted to actively using the app to search for job offers. For instance, one graduate who had struggled to secure a job through traditional means
took an unconventional approach by exchanging Tinder selfies with messages in red letters that read, "Is anyone short of workers? I'm currently looking for a job. Please hire me." Interestingly, a spokesperson for Tinder highlighted that such behavior could potentially breach the platform's community guidelines, as Tinder is primarily intended for personal, not business connections. What are your thoughts on this emerging trends? Do you consider it a smart move or an inappropriate one? We invite you to share your opinions with us on LinkedIn or Instagram. We look forward to a lively discussion.